Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Hello again. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make these race cars go around the racetrack. I'm Steve Post, pit road reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm good.
Fantastic.
First downforce race in the books.
Yeah.
Saw some comers, some goers.
Yeah. Lots of questions going into Vegas.
Yeah.
The racetrack, first intermediate tests, new Fords, new Toyotas. What did we learn?
I thought the Toyotas looked really good. Mm-hmm. I think, well, what did we learn? We had a Chevrolet win again, and if you look at the box score, you think that Kyle Larson dominated the day. I think Cliff Daniels and the 5 team executed the day. I don't think they were by far the best car there. I think they were one of the 5 or 6 best cars there. They executed all day. If you look through the day, I thought William Byron gave him a run for his money till they had the trash bag, and we could talk to Rudy later today about that. I thought Kyle Busch had pace. Execute, you know, they slid through the box, over the pitted out of the box, had a penalty there. I thought Ross Chastain, who started the back, drove forward, ended up with another penalty because of a speeding penalty on a green flag cycle, had to take a wave around. I thought he had opportunity. Yep. I thought Tyler Reddick at the end of the runs was stronger than Kyle was. Yeah. I thought that Cliff and Kyle did a great job of having the best car overall for their runs. But, you know, Tyler makes a couple different moves. We may be talking about a different winner.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, as a whole, as you look at it, I thought the Toyotas actually ran with pretty good pace.
Yeah.
If you look at it, you had Tyler up there. Bubba had speed before he had his issues.
Yep, absolutely.
Denny Hamlin was up there. Martin Truex Jr. was up there most of the day. Christopher Bell had speed, had 2 issues, a flat tire and a spin, but he had speed at times. I thought there's opportunity there. Be interesting to see where it blows.
The Toyota, you're right. There was a variety of Toyotas from multiple camps there. Let's go to the Ford Mustang Dark Horse.
How about the turnaround for Stuart Haas?
And Stuart Haas.
I felt like, you know, Ryan Blaney has done what Ryan Blaney's done for the last 15 races.
Yes, absolutely.
He and Jonathan have done a great job of putting together races, and a top 5 finish, kind of hung in the top 5 most of the day, put himself there, qualified a little farther back, drove his way forward. But the pieces I would take out of the Ford camp, 6th place qualifying effort for Chase Briscoe?
Yep.
And ran around the top 10, fell back, kind of drove back through, didn't end up with the finish he wanted to have out of it, but was up there. Noah Gregson.
Right.
His last run, I mean, came away with a 6th place finish.
6th place finish, right.
I think 6th place finish was hounding Ryan Blaney for 4th at one point, fell back a little bit, but that there's light there. That's something you can at least look at. That's not where Stuart Haas has been for a year, years, really, at these intermediate racetracks. So I thought potential. On the flip side, we saw the RFK cars last year kind of be the leaders of the Ford program. They probably had an off day.
Yeah, they did.
You know, Buescher with the wheel loose and then cutting in half, and that ended his day. But, Brad wasn't really a factor. And be interesting to see how that recovery happens when we get back to the next mile and a half, which is probably a month out.
Texas, yeah, absolutely. When you are Cliff Daniel and you have one of those cars, and I agree with you, one of those 5 or 6 cars, and you kind of know this kind of falls on me to execute this race properly. What does that bring as the crew chief? Is it extra pressure, extra? What is that as a crew chief when you're a third of the way into this race and say, all right, we don't have to work on this. We don't have to work on this. We've got everything we need here. What's that like as a crew chief?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to kind of, your focus changes from how do I make my car better to how do I make this race execute flawlessly? How do we put this race together? How do we not lose track position? How do we not put ourselves in a hole? And they did a great job of that. They rolled the day. I think their worst pit stop was in the mid 11s.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, they had a lot of 10s. Some, you know, they as their race team went, the race went on, I think their last two were in the high nines. Yeah. They put a day together. But part of that is understanding how you're going to tune in your race car, not sticking wrenches in windows.
Yeah.
Just making it just like pit practice for your pit crews, because your car is close enough that you don't need to go making major adjustments. And I think when you're in that point, you're not focused on how do we make a race car better. You start thinking farther ahead in the race of how do I need to strategize my way to the finish.
Yeah.
That becomes a different focus for you, because you start thinking about, okay, caution falls here. Where do I want to be on tires? Where do I want to be on my cycles here? How do I not want to lose track position? Because we know these cars, when you put them back in 20th, they don't drive like they do up front.
Right.
So I think Cliff did a great job of it. I don't want to discount. They had a really good race car.
Right. Yes.
I just don't think they were like light years ahead of everybody else. They executed perfectly, and nobody else that could run up there did.
Yeah. They actually had one point, they went with the qualifier scuffs at one point, at one cycle here, managing those tire sets to not have it bite you in the keister at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I really like the execution. I just think that, and you can do that when you're not scratching your head and saying, how do we make this car turn?
Right. Everybody's focus isn't on how are we going to fix the LTL or whatever. You know, we talk about LTL, loose, tight, loose, right?
Yeah, loose and tight and center, loose off. Yeah,
that's one we've all been trying to fix for since I started racing. But when you get to the point you've got good balance, you know, I think it's just working your way through how do I keep the rest of the strategy together? A good day for those guys. I'll tell you that the call of the race, and I think it made sense, but Phil Surgeon.
Yes.
20 to go.
Yep.
They had a couple setbacks. One, they had an issue with a wrap early before the race started.
So they had to start.
They had to rewrap the hood, I think, started at the tail, drove forward. They actually had a lot of pace, and I think a lot of pace that really wasn't realized because they were so far back and passing cars, but got themselves up. They actually drove from the tail to, I think they finished eighth in stage one.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
It's pretty sporty, yeah.
So they did that. Got a speeding penalty on a green flag cycle in stage two. Got a gift out of Christopher Bell spinning out.
Yeah.
What, 8 laps before the end of stage two, because they could take the wave around and not be in a penalty. They knew the caution was going to come 8 laps later.
Out, right, yeah.
But from there, they raced forward. They were 15th when that final caution came out with 20 some to go.
Yeah.
Phil, I mean, a great call by Phil and the right call.
Right.
He put two tires on, nobody else did.
Yeah.
But you got Ross Chastain, who's going to race his guts out.
Which he did.
And you know, I mean, that helps that call a lot.
Yeah.
And the other part is, if it fails, where is he going to end up? 15th?
Yeah.
That's where he was to start with.
Your house money, you put your chips in at 15.
Yes.
And they brought it back with, what, they had a fourth or fifth? Fifth place finish.
Fourth place finish. Fourth place finish. So we talk about risk and reward.
Yeah.
The reward was, he goes and fights me out, I get a top five finish out of this day.
Yeah.
The risk is, if this falls apart, I'll end up 20th. I may give up 5 spots. But my net positive is 11. My net loss is maybe
4 or 5.
Less than 5.
Yeah. I love it.
A great call and not being caught up and doing what everybody else did.
Right. Love that. I really do. Tyler Reddick, Billy Scott, their season, 29th at Daytona, 30th at Atlanta. Boy, good to see them back at the front of the field.
But that's how they start seasons.
Well, that's true.
I think if you look at every year that Tyler Reddick has been in,
in cup
racing, I think the first two races have been abysmal for him.
Right.
Last year they were the same thing. I think they were 30 something the first two races, and then they dug their way back out of this. But they were strong, and
they're going to
put on a heck of a race again.
Yeah, they're going to be. That's for sure. You mentioned it. Noah Gregson, Drew Blickensderfer are attaboy. Give them that's so good to see them up front. And I like that pairing. I think Drew's a steady hand on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something to keep an eye on. And you're right, a little bit of glimmer of hope and light over there at Stewart Haas Racing.
It reaffirms all the work they put in the offseason. Yeah. We've heard it through all of. If you talk to the drivers, the crew chiefs, anybody that's involved in the competition side over there, they have talked about the work they put in trying to fix their programs. I was listening to Chase Briscoe on the morning drive, driving in Tuesday morning, and he talked about, he said he had more than 15 hours in the simulator just working on Vegas in the off season because they're trying to fix things. So I think this is an opportunity for them. They give credit to the dark horse. You know, they feel like the body has got them in a little bigger window where they don't have to be perfect to be good. He said they still got work to do there, but I think overall it's encouraging. It's something that says the work we put in is paying off. Yep. So we'll see where it goes forward from here.
Yes. Next up is Phoenix on that. Other winners, NASCAR Xfinity Series, John Hunter Nemechek, Tyler Allen, a brand new winning crew chief. Career first win as a crew chief. He was Adam Stevens, one of his engineers, and actually spent a fair amount of time in the not traveling. He was an engineer back in the war room.
Yeah.
And so good for Tyler Allen. And NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Rajat Kaurath, Chad Walter, Spire Motorsports. Chad has three Xfinity wins, his first truck win. But kudos, that historic win for Rajat Kaurath. I think that was a big, big moment for the truck series, big, big moment for everybody.
What a great weekend for Rajat.
Yes, no doubt.
Starts off with announcement that HendrickCars.com is going to sponsor him for the whole season.
Yeah, it's like, watch
this. That's great news. Wins the pole. That's great news. Wins a race. And it was interesting because I think it's going to be fun to watch his career grow.
Yeah.
He's a great kid. He's a really good talent. And he's nowhere near polished yet. Right. And I don't mean that as an insult. No. I mean that as I look at it like there's a lot of runway left in this kid. And it's going to be great. And I think he and Chad are a good fit. They've got a year in the books already when they were at GMS last year. Right. So I look for this pairing. I look to see what they can do during the year. I think this is going to be interesting to watch. I got a little time to work around Rajah last year. Mm-hmm. And the kid's really good.
Yeah, he really is. One of my summer shootout kids. He came down from, I'll never forget, came down from Washington, D.C., an iRacer. And I'm like, here we go again. We get a lot of here we go agains. But this one is putting in the work to do what he needs to do.
Well, speaking of iRacers, we're going to have a crew chief of one, right?
Absolutely. The iRacer is William Byron. But his crew chief, Rudy Fugel, he joins us next here on Crew Call.
This NASCAR season, Toyota Racing isn't looking for just anyone to join the team. No, we're looking for bankers, the ones who are open on Sundays.
So if you live for the gravity-defying 31-degree banks like this one on Turn 4 at Daytona,
then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places.
NASCAR is a registered trademark of National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. We talked about it before we stepped away there. Joining us is the crew chief of an iRacer, another iRacer, William Byron, crew chief, and Daytona 500 winning crew chief, Rudy Fugel, joins us. Hello, Rudy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing great. Glad to be on here again. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you joining us in this weird travel week, but your Daytona 500 winning crew chief. We got to talk about a little bit about that. Last week over at Hendrick Motorsports, you were presented with the Cannonball Baker Trophy. That's normally done at a breakfast in Daytona. What was that like for you to get that on campus at Hendrick last week? And just that trophy, that award.
Yeah, it's my first time, you know, obviously winning the Daytona 500 as crew chief, but even being in the whole presentation. So. Yeah, I know it's probably different, you know, if you would have experienced it in Daytona. But for us, it was kind of what we expected. But it was good to have it here. We got to have some more, you know, team members to go to the event and the award and the lunch, which is good. You know, anytime you can involve more of the people that help build the car and do everything that we, you know, make us go fast and keep us employed is fun to have them there. So that part was great.
If we want to, I'd love to stay on this, and I want to correct this. He's a Daytona 500 champion.
That's right.
It's not a winner.
Not a winner. You're a champion.
He's a champion.
Thank you.
That's,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
There's certain things there that you keep. But the week following, especially with it being pushed back to Monday, I remember, now this is years and years and years ago, when we won it, you know, there's a whole lot that goes into it. What's that week like for your team, and how does that set you up differently for the year?
Yeah, so I mean that week was a whirlwind, you know, and it did spin into a little bit after Atlanta, but you know, it was tough. It was you know, so Monday night we didn't get home. We tore down the car and then put it back together to go to the museum, and so we didn't leave the track until like 2:30. So then got an airplane, you know, and landed and pretty much went back to work Tuesday morning. You know, a few hours later, took a shower. Slept for about 30 minutes, then went back to work. So, because we, you know, so Tuesday was a lot of congratulations and telling everybody that, you know, deserved a handshake and thank you for that and normal preparations for Atlanta. So road crew would normally be off on Monday, but we can't take that, you know, on Tuesday. So everybody came in and you just start working towards Atlanta. So, yeah, it was quite the week. But, you know, you're riding a high. There's an adrenaline rush there from winning the Daytona 500 and being Daytona 500 champions that carries you for a while. The relief off your shoulders of having that win and getting in the playoffs is pretty cool right away to do that.
Pretty cool indeed. Okay, so we roll through Atlanta. Then we go to Las Vegas. We're all talking about the first intermediate track. We're talking about new Fords and new Toyotas. You're there with your Chevy Camaro. And seriously, a trash bag and a Coors Light can. Rudy, how do you even process that as a crew chief?
You really don't, honestly. It is. It just happens so quickly that you have to make decisions. And you get the bag off and you work on the next thing. So, after the fact it sucks, you know, and so you think about, you know, how bad a luck that was, but you also look at the challenge that presents in front of you and how you can work through it and how that proves to your team that no matter what happens, you can always try to overcome things. So unfortunately we didn't get all the way back there. We ended up stubbing our toe a couple more times during the race, but, and got back to 10th, but I think we proved we had a car that was good enough to run, and you know, in the top two or three, we just have to clean some things up and have some better luck. And but yeah, we worked on a lot of things over the off season that we showed were better, you know, so far in that race. So hopefully, we can continue that.
And with that situation, I got a couple things on it, but one, how's a beer can get into the air intake? Like, did the grill fail and it went through with the bag there? Or how did you?
I think it hit it so fast that it. So it's not a full can. Let's be real. It's broken. It's disintegrated. But okay. the whole bottom ring in with the born on date and everything is still was in there. And then the wrap the can itself, the side of the can is shredded apart. But it was all up in there as well. So I would be, you know, I would think that can was probably in that bag. And we hit that bag at 190 miles an hour, it explodes the can. It sits in there in the ductwork for so long, and when the bag that what I think happened is when the bag was on the grill, the engine is starving for air, yeah. So it's sucking air as hard as it can, and therefore it sucked, you know, it sucked that can up into the air filter, and that's where it stayed the rest of the time. So that's what, you know, because that all of the engine air, it comes from the grill now. So anytime you starve it and completely cover it with the bag, then you're sucking from every, you're sucking air for the engine from every orifice that it can find. And then of course it's going to pull and suction that can back up in there.
That's crazy. And then the other piece I want to build off of that, we heard on broadcast motor temp going to north of 300 degrees. Now that's only for a lap. And I'm sure once you pulled that off, it came back, but how does that affect your engine plan coming forward, seals and all that with, I think you've got to have 18 sealed engines that you race during a season. Does that change things up for you?
Yeah, thankfully, this was a rerun engine already. So it was a sealed engine from last year. So we had a seal credit from last year with this engine. So thankfully, that was the case. Yeah, it's definitely not an engine you would want to race again without tearing all the way down. So ended up, you know, not being able to complete the race, thankfully. Engine shop did a great job, but I'm sure it's not to its full potential.
And to clarify this, and Todd was explaining this to me earlier, Rudy, but I wanted to confirm this, you basically can carry over 4 sealed engines from last year. Is that accurate? And is that what this was, one of those from last year?
Yeah, I'm not sure of the number. I know it's not a ton, but you end up in the playoffs having to run some sealed engines. So you would, if you didn't get to rerun some of those the beginning of the next year, you would kind of be a waste, you know, of the whole process. So yes, this was one of those.
Nice.
You talked about, and I'll build into it, but you talked about stubbing your toes a few times through the rest of the race. I thought we talked in the opening here, you know, Cliff Daniels, Kyle Larson, I mean, by the box score, they were by far the best car, right? 180 some laps led, won both stages, won the race. You'd think was dominant. I felt you were every bit as good as they were. I thought there were 4 or 5 that were, and the other ones stubbed their toes like you talked about. But one of the pieces we saw, green flag stop, I think it was the last stage, you slid through the box. And yep. Likewise, the 8 car did. The 8 car didn't catch it. They performed their box. That's a down drive-through penalty. That cost them a lap. You guys backed up. Who catches that? How do you know to do that? Because you can't even plug in the gas can, right? You've got to, everybody's, that car's got to back up before anything happened.
Yeah, we actually just walked out of our pit crew meeting for the week. So we just went through that whole thing. And I sit on the left side of the box. So I sit at the front side of the box for that reason. So that is my call. I don't always have a great view. This is a weekend where I didn't have an awesome view. Our front changer checks off a little bit, but to be fast, he can't really check off.
Mm-hmm.
So he was getting up to check off as I was telling William to back up. William in our meeting yesterday said that he kind of knew at about two away that he was in trouble, that he was starting to not slow down as fast as he wanted to. So he kind of knew he kind of was prepared to go to reverse. You know, he was obviously hoping for the best, but he was prepared for the worst. So all those things are, you know, we haven't really done. I don't know that Williams ever slid through the box with us, but we talk about that stuff all the time. And to have that happen this early in the year is probably when you want it to, so we can work through it. But yeah, I ultimately said back up. He was ready to back up at the same time I said it, so I know he felt it. And off we went. On the film review, we ended up being really, really close. It would have been a tough NASCAR call, but I don't want to leave that up to them in this situation.
Yeah, that's the difference between coming out with a 10th place finish or coming out 20th. You know, it makes right. Leaving it to their call. It's a great call by your point, but there. But and then, you know, you talked about it, but you got to feel good about the notebook you bring back, knowing that this is a pretty important playoff race.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, anytime you can start off the year, you know, with these playoff races. So Atlanta, Vegas, Phoenix, Bristol, all playoff races, all right in a row. You know, all races we want to be strong on. So. We've been working all off season on these tracks. Phoenix is tough with the new aero to really work a lot in the DIL and things, the simulator, because there's not as much aero information as you want to have. You know, all that's trickling in as we speak, even still. But all these tracks are super important to get a read on. You know, you don't have to. It's great to go in, but if you can, as long as you have really good notes to know what you want to improve on, then you're going to be in good place when the playoffs start.
Well, all right. You've talked a little bit about it. Let's move forward to Phoenix. And Phoenix weekend, a little unique in the schedule in that you guys start with a whopping 50-minute practice session.
That's wow. 2.5 times what they normally get.
Yes, and it's about a quarter of the time you used to get. So it's but how do you tackle that practice session on Friday afternoon? Is it a Rudy Fugle 24 test? Is it a Hendrick Motorsports test? At 50 minutes, what do you guys want to accomplish there?
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing to really talk about that's different is, yes, we have 50 minutes, but what's different than ever in a long time is we have to present for inspection an hour and a half after that 50 minutes.
Oh.
So it's not like normally. So normally we would have that 50 minutes. You start working on the car. You have overnight, which the engineers and myself would probably stay up most of that night going through what we want to sim and put in the car. And then the mechanics will put it in the car first thing Saturday morning, and then we present for tech. That's not an option. So that changes your plan. You know, you're going to be limited on what you're going to be able to change after practice. So we will, what our practice plan will be, will be knowingly things that we can change in that hour and a half, you know, because we already have to change, most likely have to change brakes in that hour and a half. And so we're going to be packed just getting the car ready to race. Let alone getting it ready for inspection and changing things. So I think really all of us as a GM group will work on different little things that we can share. All of the key partners with Chevrolet will hopefully, we've done this in the past, we'll work together, try to hit different areas to look at. But in reality, I think the addition to normal changes will be springs, cambers, toes, and really like geometries and stuff like that, you're not going to have a ton of time to change.
Was there any push from the crew chief side? I would have done this to try to push inspection off to being Saturday morning instead of being...
For sure.
And
yeah, definitely. Yeah, right. As soon as we heard about it, we were begging for a reprieve. But I don't know what the deal is, but that's what they want.
Yeah, that was the first thing I said to Steve before the thing. I said, I'm going to ask him about, does he wish inspection was Saturday morning? Just because I always enjoyed that night to just digest. And you can digest not only your stuff, but to especially in a situation here where you've got all of your key partners kind of pooling information, it digesting that in what, 30 minutes, because you've got to implement it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it'll take 15 minutes to debrief with all of our drivers. And then you're going to have to make a decision in 15 minutes later, what you're going to put in. The engineers will run it through simulation and type it up. And then it's got to go in the car. So, it seems like it's a trucker, an Xfinity type old school weekend when it's like that. And we'll just try to flex those and execute better than everybody else. That's all we can do.
You've got some history there.
Yeah.
you understand how to work those weekends. But so this is, you know, we talked about going to Vegas, that Chevrolet at least had their notebook. You know, they didn't have any changes. Toyota and Ford did. This is all new for everybody. What do you expect out of this aero package?
Yeah, I mean, just what I heard about from the drivers. You know, Larson was one of the drivers, and then they all kind of echoed the same comments, as that it felt like they had more to lean on, but there was still a lot of off throttle time, but felt like they could lean on the car, meaning they could put the car in a little bit of yaw, and it was, you could sustain it, you know. And that's as we've peeled downforce off the cars and 2-inch blades, all these things at all these short tracks, the biggest complaint that we hear is that, yes, we're off throttle. Yes, they're harder to drive, but I'm scared to drive in, you know, dive bomb somebody in the corner, to run in under somebody, to run a top lane and hang the car out, because there's no edge. So, so far, you know, at that test, there was a little bit more to lean on, is what they said. And hopefully that's the case. So then that's all you're looking for. You can make them super hard to drive, and that's great, but that doesn't always put on a great race. You know, you got to be able to go side by side and not be scared to crash. So that's the case, and we'll see what happens.
And this package it much reduced the diffuser, right? It became a lot smaller and simpler, and they added some spoiler back. Was it when they added spoiler back that they got some of that kind of ability to kind of lean on something?
Yeah, it seems like so. The diffuser, the way it is now, I don't know that it's diffusing a ton, but mm-hmm. one of the biggest things that doesn't have the side, you know, skirt type diffuser piece is the skirt on the very side. They have some strakes in the middle, but doesn't have the side ones. So when the car, when you have those side panels on, like we have in Las Vegas, the car does, that diffuser works better when it's not in yaw. It likes to see the air straight. When you pull those off, it doesn't stall the diffuser as much. So the diffuser works fairly the same, whether it's yawed out or not. And then when you add a 3-inch blade on, then the top of the car and that blade is creating a tighter yaw moment as well, which makes the car, have a little bit more side force. So that should all be helpful.
Fascinating stuff. It really, truly is. Rudy, we appreciate the time joining us here. I've got one real quick question. Speaking of time, though, because we know you're busy with all this NASCAR stuff, but your wife, Carrie, is really into gardening, and you've told me you are the right-hand man. How's tilling planned? Is all of the prep for the garden planned? I mean, the last frost is coming up here. How is the garden looking?
I think we're behind this year. We've got a lot going on. Yeah, she's really good at it. She's stopping to work on her greenhouse at school. I think she's doing good with that. But at home, we are behind the eight ball. So, well, and that's mostly my fault. I'll take the blame. So I'll have to. If she sees this, I'm going to get in trouble. So I'm going to rib you the next time I see you.
Whoops, sorry about that. Never mind. Julian, cancel this. Cancel this out. Rudy, yeah. Rudy, we do appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Congratulations on that 500 championship, and we'll see you out in Phoenix.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
There we go. Rudy Fugel joining us here on Crew Call. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post, and boy, Rudy Fugel. I just love chatting with him. He is one of those people, and this is how you and I got acquainted years ago. He's one of those guys that can explain things so that a marginally knowledgeable radio person can understand. Him talking about the way that can probably ended up in the intake with the suction was really good. And then talking about that diffuser and the outside strakes on that thing, I actually think I understand a little bit more now than what I did before talking to Rudy. That's always the thing with him.
Yeah, he's really good at it. He's really good at it. I love how calm and collected he is. If you listen to him on the race, he gets pretty excited.
He does.
He's which I think is great. And you know, there's personality matches, and he and William, I think they click. They do. They're. I mean, this goes back. He brought up. This is going to be like an Xfinity or truck weekend. Well, they had a little bit of success. He and
just a little bit.
Rudy and
that's in their wheelhouse. That's in their wheelhouse.
But that is. I wanted to go there, but people don't understand. Like 50 minutes of practice. I didn't realize that they had to be in line at 5:30. I know it said 5:30 to 10:30 is inspection, but they've got to be presented. You think an hour and a half is long.
No,
it's not.
No, when you got to do all of the normal maintenance of the car, he talks about the brakes and everything like that. The normal maintenance of the car, the normal upkeep of the car.
So your mechanics and everybody, they'll start doing all the stuff they know that's just wearable replacements. They'll do rotors, they'll do pads, they'll get that stuff together. They'll have a knowing that they can go ahead and get that certain parts done. But Rudy's got to get that. I mean, you're going to have any changes you want out to your car chief and your mechanics 30 minutes after practice.
Man, that is quick.
You got to give them an hour. I mean, because you got to let them do it right.
Right. To implement or put it on the car. Right.
There's a lot that's going to happen in those first 30 to 45 minutes from 3:55 on. Phoenix time.
Right. Absolutely. And wow, that is fascinating. It really truly is. I just can't imagine that, because that really limits what you can test.
It does. And you know, you're not changing geometries. You're not moving the control arms around and things like that. You're, as he talked about, you'll play with cambers, toes, you know, you shock springs. The shocks and springs, because it's a coilover shock, and the shock itself is a spec part. So you could build up three different left front shocks.
Right.
And have different springs on them. Ready. So it just becomes an unbolt the shock, bolt this new one in.
We know.
We've already. So those spring changes and pieces like that you could do, but the moving physical parts it's going to be, if you're going to do it, you're going to have to give yourself, you're going to have to make it like, I'm going to run A for 20 laps. It's going to take 10, 12 minutes. I'm going to make a 15 minute change, and I'm going to run B for 20 laps. And that will leave me, and I'll end up short of my end of practice. But that leaves me a decision to make. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how all these teams play out here.
It is going to be awesome. It is going to be fun. And you know what's also fun is that Motor Racing Network is going to be on the air for this.
Yeah.
We will be on the air for it. And
yes, we will be.
Yes, we will be on the air, because you'll be joining us out there. And I think this is perfect that you're going to be joining us, because I think it's great, because you'll be able to document this and talk about this and really with follow-up from what Rudy just told us here today.
Yeah, these practice qualifying shows are probably actually my most favorite, because I'm not interrupting you guys and your expertise. I can actually embellish a little bit on
with
what
your
I'm
expertise,
seeing.
Expertise, exactly, yeah, just, which is why we do what we do.
Yeah, so looking forward to it. What a great weekend. ARCA, what we got? We got ARCA on Friday.
Oh, you kidding me? Friday, 5 o'clock Eastern time, we have that Cup Series practice that we talked about. 8 o'clock Eastern time, the ARCA Menards Series and the ARCA Menards West Series, it's their season opener, will go with the General Tire 150. Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, NASCAR Cup Series, we have qualifying. No practice, just pole qualifying. 4 o'clock on Saturday, NASCAR Xfinity Series. Listen to this name. Call 811.com, every dig, every time, 200. Rolls right off the tongue for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And on Sunday, 2:30 Eastern Time, it is the NASCAR Cup Series, the Shriner Children's 500. Motor Racing Network there all weekend long. And you can dial us up on your local affiliate or wherever you follow along. So cannot wait to get out there to the Valley of the Sun.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be awesome.
Looking forward to it. First race I get to go to in person this year. And I'm looking forward to it. I love the ability to cover a 50-minute practice like this. Yeah. Be a lot of things to see there. It just, the weekend's going to be great. We'll and this is a preview. This is one everybody's keeping notes on, because this is our championship race.
You're right about that. Yep, you want to come out of there with some good notes, that's for sure. He is Todd Gordon. I am Steve Post. We are grateful that you joined us here this time on Crew Call. And hey, like, share, spread the gospel of Crew Call. if you enjoy what we do here on the Motor Racing Network. Again, thank you for joining us this time here on MRN's Crew Call.